Part 3. Obscurus. Chapter 18. Lightless Gulfs.
It is said that the light of the Astronomicon does not reach into the eastern fringe. I have never seen it myself, though I have gathered descriptions for my records. Most often it is seen as a bridge of silvery light and heavenly voices extending into infinity, or rather, about 50,000 light-years, give or take.
Fabius stepped out of the antechamber containing the tertiary stratagerium, dismissing the hololithic data feeds as he went. The last signs of pursuit had faded into the galactic distance. Even the lapdogs of the Corpse Emperor had their limits, and the red scimitars had reached them some weeks back.
Your brothers have turned back. You are alone now, and in my keeping.
His words were directed at his guest. The red scimitar hung on a vertical examination slab, wrists and ankles securely manacled, head bowed. He had been stripped of his battleplate, which sat in pieces on a slab nearby. It had been some days since he had awakened. His body had taken that long to recuperate from the damage Arian had inflicted. Fabius circled the slab. The middle section had been removed so as to allow an unobstructed view of the wounded area. Gently, Fabius probed the scarred flesh.
Healing nicely. Arian wields a blade the way I wield a scalpel. Were you free, you might even be able to walk again. Perhaps you shall have the opportunity, in time, once we have come to an accommodation of sorts.
He turned to the second slab and its burden of armor. He picked up a section of crimson battleplate. He ran a finger along the lines of poetry etched into its crimson surface. The language was archaic, as was the style.
A deliberate stylistic choice, or has literature degenerated to such an extent that this is the best you can do, he murmured.
The revolt against Terra had not simply irreparably damaged the physical infrastructure of the nascent Imperium, but its society and culture as well. Lorgar's bleating flock had pillaged and burned a million repositories of knowledge for no greater purpose than spite. Horus, at least, had ransacked the great oculariums and archives in a search for knowledge, but he had burned them all the same. As if they'd sought not just to overthrow a tyrant, but upend the foundations of civilization itself. And for what? Power. Control.
A child's game, he murmured, still examining the poem. And at its end, only children remain, unable to do anything more than ape those who came before them.
He looked at his guest.
Is that what you are, then? A feral child, raised on the stories of a golden age that never truly existed, save in the tales of remembrances and iterators?
The space marine said nothing. He was not unconscious. He had, in fact, been awake for no small amount of time, biding his time in hopes of escape, perhaps. Fabius set the chunk of armor aside.
There is no escape, brother. You might get out of my laboratorium, even off this deck, but no further.
Still no reply. Fabius sighed.
You are not unconscious. My senses registered the spike in your heart rate when I picked up this section of armor.
He tapped it.
My criticisms of your fumbling attempts at the poetic were not intended as an insult, I assure you.
He frowned.
Your name is Khazra, is it not? So it says on your armor.
He waited for a moment, and then continued.
You are still alive, Khazra. This is of concern to you, I am sure. It can only mean terrible things. This is true. But it is within your power to mitigate the extent of those things. I will speak plainly. Cooperation earns you a swift and relatively painless demise. Stubbornness will earn you only agony. That agony will increase in direct proportion to your obstinacy. The more you resist, the more it will hurt.
Pain, Pain is an illusion.
Khazra's voice was hoarse. No. Pain is the body's way of alerting you to injury and malfunction. It is a warning. The more pain you feel, the greater the warning. For example...
Fabius tapped Torment against the Space Marine's bare torso, eliciting a bellow of agony. The transhuman warrior convulsed in his bindings as an etheric torrent of pain ripsawed through him.
That was but a mere tingle compared to what awaits you if you choose to test my patience. Do you understand, Khazra, Sheehan of the Red Scimitars?
The Space Marine hawked and spat. Acidic saliva hissed, eating through Fabius's flesh coat.
I see. You do not understand. Very well.
Torment slid forward, at a lower angle this time. Again, a hoarse roar of pain. Fabius stepped back after a slow count of 10. The smoking head of the scepter nestled in the crook of his arm like a contented pet.
Now? He asked.
Ragged panting was the only reply. Fabius caught his hair and jerked his head up. Khazra truly was unconscious this time. Annoyed, Fabius let his head fall.
Why do you do that? Fulgrim stood behind him, watching. The clone looked perplexed. Fabius frowned.
Do what?
You are hurting him. Why?
It is necessary.
Why?
Fabius's frown deepened.
The quest for knowledge is rarely pleasant, Fulgrim. It often involves blood and pain. In this case, his.
Do you enjoy it?
No.
Fulgrim didn't look happy. It was an odd thing to see that face twisted up in such childish dismay. Even with all of his knowledge, the clone did not truly understand. Fulgrim, the real Fulgrim, had conducted experiments of his own on Chemos. Procedures meant to extend lifespan and cure the various ailments, such as glow lung, which afflicted his adopted people. But those had had an obvious purpose. Perhaps that was it. Fabius guided the clone away from the prisoner.
Rest assured, his suffering will not be extensive. Few choose to resist beyond the first touch of torment.
Do you have to kill him?
He is our enemy, Fulgrim. He would kill us, and gladly, were he able, in the name of his corpse emperor.
Fabius laughed sourly.
Indeed, I have died at the hands of brutes like him more than I care to admit.
You died? Fulgrim looked horrified.
Fabius nodded.
Oh, yes, several times in this millennium alone.
Then how are you here?
Fabius tapped the side of his head.
So long as my mind lives, it can inhabit a prepared body. As you are a clone, so too is this flesh I wear.
He gestured to a row of nutrient tanks. Each contained a web of nerve tissue.
Cloned neural networks. My mind at different stages of its development.
He watched the nutrient pulses as they fed into the glistening strands of nerve tissue. There was something obscurely satisfying about watching such a process.
In the event of death, my mind, my knowledge, continues.
Fulgrim frowned.
But they are not you.
No, and yes. Once implanted in a compatible host, that host will think they are me, and thus will do as I would do. I am no less me than the me who stood in the temples of the lair and scrounged for secrets.
He smiled in recognition of his own achievement.
They are based on the neural artifice of Eldari Infinity Circuit technology. It took me a century to grow them from tissue cultures taken at regular intervals.
Fulgrim looked at him.
Host?
Well, yes. The obvious intention is that a cloned husk will be to hand. But in the event such a thing isn't possible, any suitable transhuman corpus will do. Igori and the others are fully aware of the requirements and can perform the appropriate procedure if necessary. He looked at Fulgrim. My work will continue, whatever setbacks arise, until it is finished, and I can rest.
Was that why you made me? Fulgrim indicated his body. My frame is superior to yours in every way. My mind processes information more quickly. My body is all but immortal. I know these things instinctively. Will you replace me, Fabius? It was not an accusation so much as genuine curiosity, and for a moment Fabius was taken aback. He laughed to hide his unease.
The thought honestly never occurred to me. No, I have no desire to trade in my familiar surroundings, even for a superior form.
Then why did you make me? Fabius hesitated. He looked away, studying Fulgrim's distorted reflection in the polished surface of the nutrient tanks. In the end, he decided on honesty.
At first, it was to see if I could. Then it was because I thought it was necessary.
He let slip a bitter chuckle.
We were lost in those days, without true guidance, reacting instead of acting, descending into barbaric excess, even as we shed all pretense of organization and discipline. Without Fulgrim, without you, we were rudderless. Some tried to steer the ship, regardless, myself included. We failed.
He looked at Fulgrim.
I created you to save us, as I created your brothers, Horus, Lorga, even Angron. I thought that by giving our brothers back their fathers, I might halt the Legion Wars and unite us once more.
Why? Again, Fabius hesitated. He smiled sadly.
I thought there was something worth saving. Now I know better. We are failed experiments. All that remains is to learn what can be learned and begin again.
Fulgrim looked at his hands, watching the play of inhuman muscle beneath perfect flesh. I am a failure. Fabius looked at him.
No, he said quickly. There may yet be use for you. I simply have not decided what it is.
Fulgrim curled his fingers into fists. I would lead them if you let me. I can see how to do it, how it must be done. I can lead them to perfection, if you give me the chance.
Your predecessor thought much the same.
I am not him, Fulgrim said firmly. He looked at Fabius, violet eyes burning with intent and need. I read his words, the records of his deeds. I will never be him. I would not kill my brother. I would not betray my father. I will not succumb to such imperfection. Not once, not again. The force of his words thrummed through Fabius, unsettling him. Here was the youthful Phoenician come again. Here was the demigod he remembered kneeling before on the fields of Chemos. But there were oceans between that moment and this. Fabius had endured the storm such words conjured before, and though forceful, they had little power over him now. He shook his head.
Perhaps. There may soon come a day when we depart this veil of shadows together, you and I. And on that day, I may build a legion for you, so that you might do as you were born to do.
The thought had a certain appeal. He laughed.
Maybe my new man needs a new legion to safeguard him in his infancy, as we safeguarded his predecessor. There is a certain poetry in that, I think.
Even as he said it, he felt a sudden twitch of disquiet. The knot of pain in his stomach flared suddenly, digging its claws into the meat of him. He grimaced and braced himself against the examination slab. The chirurgeon hissed, and a flush of pain inhibitors flooded his system, dulling the ache. He coughed. Blood speckled his lips.
Already, he murmured.
Fulgrim reached for him. Teacher? Fabius waved him back.
Yes, nothing to worry about. It will pass. It is like an old friend at this point.
I almost welcome it. He looked at Fulgrim. Pain concentrates the mind wonderfully. It is only in its excess that it becomes debilitating.
He gestured to Khazra.
As our guest is soon to discover.
Alkanex stood on the command deck, watching the stars of the eastern fringe slide by on the viewscreens. The stars were strange here, and full of horrors undreamt of, even in the eye. Ghost ships drifted through the dark and quiet, emitting phantom signals from crews long dead. Eerie sonic pulses from the black reaches, like the radar screeches of some vast, unseen colony of chiropterans.
"Strange is the night, eh, Palos?"
He glanced at his subordinate. Palos Gaia had come through the battle with red scimitars intact and with new notches carved into the chestplate of his armor. Palos chuckled.
"We are far beyond the Hyades now, brother."
Alkanex smiled. The words belonged to an old poem, or perhaps a song. Some tatter of words that had haunted the remembrances of the 28th expedition in more innocent times. He remembered how it had flown from one to the next, from singer to sculptor, from painter to dancer, like some outlandish mimetic virus, until it had at last extinguished itself in the frenzies of that final performance by the composer Kinska. Some among his brothers held that those words were a message from somewhere else, though what that message might mean and who it might be from, no one could agree. Alkanex did not concern himself with such musings. He had missed Kinska's final performance, and the thought of it brought an exquisite ache to his soul, even now. An interrogative blurt issued from the unmoving mouth of Bile's Strategium Overseer. The crystal-faced creature twitched as if in alarm. A moment later, it calmed.
"What's got into it?" Palos muttered.
His hand fell to his axe. He didn't care for the creature. Alkanex couldn't blame him. Fabius's monsters could turn even the most depraved of stomachs.
"Offhand, I'd say that."
He pointed to one of the viewscreens. A black blotch, darker than the void around it, occupied the center of the screen. He barked an order, and the image was magnified. A kilometers-long obelisk of some dark stone floated through the stars. It was blank of feature or ornamentation, smooth on all visible sides.
"What in the name of the Phoenician is that?" Palos asked.
"The records call it the Imgar Monolith,"
Alkanex murmured, studying the celestial edifice. The immense obelisk seemed to draw in the light of the surrounding stars, as if it were not simply a structure, but instead a hole in space and time.
"Though, as to why, I cannot say. It is a name with no story."
It had existed since before man took to the stars, and would likely exist long after. Alkanex half suspected that it was debris from some cosmic conflict far beyond the reckoning of humanity, or even the gods themselves. The universe was older than they thought, and wilder by far. He himself had led expeditions into the crumbling remnants of Xenos empires that had risen and fallen in time out of mind, and seen pictograms carved into the inner hollows of comets that depicted things beyond the conception of any human mind. Time and space were part of the same incalculable ocean, swelling and receding, leaving flotsam and jetsam in their eternal wake. And it was that ocean that the Phoenix would burn away when he had at last awoken from his slumber. Reduce it to steam and shadows, so that something new and better might rise in its place.
"It looks strange," Palos grunted. "Like it is there, but not. A mirage of starlight."
"It is real enough. But something about it baffles the ship's senses."
Alkanex leaned forward over the rail.
"Fulgrim made mention of it once. Apparently, one of the two Forgotten Ones was said to have led an expedition to its black heart in the early centuries of the Great Crusade. Though why he was out this far and what he might have found was never recorded."
He frowned.
"Probably for the best. The galaxy has devils enough without letting out whatever resides there.
If you're finished admiring the scenery, we have things to discuss,
Merrick said from behind them. Alkanex turned, restraining a flicker of annoyance. Merrick stood before the hololith projector, studying schematics.
And what things might those be, Merrick?
Savona must be dealt with.
Merrick leaned through the holo projection, thrusting his scarred head towards Alkanex.
She is actively working against us. She tried to kill me.
Given what you've told me of her, I'm not surprised. She would have, sooner or later.
Alkanex shrugged.
She may be working against us, or she may have simply seized an opportunity. Either way, I refuse to be distracted.
Merrick stepped back. Though his mouth was hidden behind his respirator, Alkanex could tell he was frowning.
She is more than a distraction.
To you, perhaps, not to me.
And what of Arian? Is he a distraction as well?
Alkanex grunted.
I tested the World Eater. He is skilled.
Merrick's eyes narrowed.
Can you beat him?
No, but I can kill him. Alkanex smiled thinly. I am not so arrogant as to demand that every battle be a thing of worth. Some are merely means to an end. Arian must die, but I do not have to be the one who kills him. So long as his skull and the information it contains is intact, I will accept a lesser death for him.
Merrick laughed harshly.
And how many will die, ensuring his lesser demise?
As many as it takes, Alkanex gestured. This is war, Merrick. Warriors die in war. They die to achieve the objectives of their betters. That was the first lesson Fulgrim taught us after our first rebirth, and it has served us well.
And what is your objective? Your real one, I mean?
Merrick gave a rasping laugh.
Whatever you say, I do not think it is Eidolon's.
Careful, Equerry. You overstep yourself.
And so? We have always done so. That is the nature of our legion.
After a moment, Alkanex chuckled.
There is something in what you say. Fine. I intend to kill Fabius Bile, once and for all.
You hate him. Why?
Alkanex hesitated. Then, with a shrug, he said, The simplest reason of all. Envy.
What could you possibly envy in that wretch?
Merrick asked incredulously.
The color of his cankers?
Alkanex laughed softly.
No, I envy the love our father showed him. Fulgrim loved Fabius first and best. Oh, vainglorious fools like Lucius or mad dogs like Eidolon will tell you different. But I know. Kasparos Telmar knew, and Grithan Thorn. Even that brute Narvo Quinn could see it as plain as day.
He peered down the length of his blade.
Lucius was his champion, Eidolon his greatest commander, but Fabius was his confidant. Fabius understood him in ways the rest of us were never allowed to, and for that I envy him. And I hate him. And Slaanesh willing, I will see him dead for it.
If it is as you say, Fulgrim will not thank you for it.
No.
Alkanex ran the scalp along the blade again, polishing imperfections visible only to him.
He will not.
His smile widened.
But he will forgive me. He will see that it is for the best.
Or he will kill you where you kneel.
Alkanex shrugged.
Either way, the spider will precede me into hell. That is enough.
You denied me battle. I am disappointed, Fabius.
Diomat's voice echoed through the cavernous chamber. Its reverberations caused filth-encrusted carvings of cherubs to slough from stony perches and tumble to the deck below, where they shattered into pieces.
I felt the ship quake, saw the enemy blazing through the void. What of your promise?
Forgive me, brother. There was little time to see to your release in all the excitement. In any event, it was soon done. They are eager, our kin, but not so skilled as all that.
Fabius picked his way through the debris. The shattered remnants of several servitors littered the nave of the chamber. Diomat had obviously vented his frustrations before Fabius's arrival. Something to be thankful for, perhaps. His talk with Fulgrim had left him feeling unsettled. The proximity of a Primarch, even a cloned one, was harmful to his certainties. It made the impossible seem possible, and the foolish seem wise. He did not know why he had felt the need to seek out Diomat. Perhaps he simply sought the counsel of one like him who had witnessed ancient glories and follies firsthand. Or maybe he simply needed someone to confess to. The Contemptor Dreadnought stood before one of the ornate observation ports, flexing his claws rhythmically. He turned from his contemplation of the filthy viewport.
Aye, here we have guests, and Flavius Alcanex, no less. One of the Phoenicians' young curs.
Fabius frowned.
And how did you hear that?
Diomat tapped the side of the sphere that passed for his head.
Forgive me. In my isolation, I have taken to eavesdropping on the internal vox frequencies.
Fabius grunted.
And what else have you heard?
He means to dispose of you.
I'd think him more of a fool than I already do if he didn't.
Fabius came to stand beside the dreadnought.
I have no doubt our brother Eidolon put him up to it.
Eidolon!
Diomat emitted a harsh rasp of metallic laughter.
That sounds like him.
It sounds like all of us. Save, perhaps, you.
Diomat turned slightly, gears and pistons groaning.
And what do you mean by that, brother? Another of your veiled insults?
It is not an insult, Fabius hesitated. Not this time, at least.
He looked up at the ancient dreadnought, at the pockmarked chassis and fading paintwork, the tarnished gilt and the ruinous sigils carved into the ceramite plates by tormentors in centuries past. Like him, Diomat had endured much at the hands of their brothers. Like him, the dreadnought bore the warriors of the Emperor's children little love. And yet... Suddenly uncertain, Fabius ran a hand through his hair. Some of it came away in his fingers, and he felt a twinge somewhere inside. There was no pain. Not yet. But it would come. It always did. He looked at Diomat again.
It is not an insult, he said again. Eidolon believes that he has found the missing gene tithe. We are on our way to acquire it now. He wishes me to make a legion for him.
Diomat was silent for a moment.
And will you?
I do not know, yet.
Diomat looked back up at the viewport.
Eidolon must be chewing out his guts in anticipation. Kasperos Telmar used to speak of him often when he came to torment me in my sarcophagus. Eidolon wishes to be Lord Commander Primus once more, to lead a renewed legion to what he sees as its destiny.
As far as I can tell, that means serving as Abaddon's lackey.
Diomat made a noise halfway between a grunt and a sigh of creaking metal.
Why have you come, Fabius? Are you seeking absolution or permission for something?
Fabius hesitated. Was this the correct course? He pushed the thought aside. He needed to talk. to unburden himself. And Diomat was the only one who might truly understand, mad as he was.
There is something else. I found something on Harmony. Someone.
Diomat did not look at him.
Who?
Fulgrim.
The dreadnought's baleful gaze tore itself from the stars and fell upon him.
What?
The word echoed through Fabius like soft thunder.
A clone. One of mine. Uncorrupted.
Everything is corrupt. All that we were has become rotten to the bone. Not this. Not him. I am certain of it now.
Fabius closed his eyes. His skull ached with the weight of his worry.
Do you understand, Diomat? Do you see the possibility before me? Before us?
The great mechanical claws curled into fists, and for a moment Fabius wondered whether the dreadnought intended to use them on him. Instead, Diomat turned and began to trudge away, towards the end of the nave, where the altar might once have stood.
Is this some trick, Fabius? Some torment you've devised to plague my mind?
If it is, it afflicts me as well, brother. No, I come to you because I can go to no one else. I have long wondered why I spared you, Diomat. I have no real use for you. But now, I think it is because you remind me of what was once possible. Of the ideal that once drove us. The hero of Walpurgis. The last true brother.
He laughed sourly.
I'd wager that's why Kasparos kept you alive as well. Like digging at an open wound.
Diomat reached out and crushed the skull of one of the restraint servitors. It squalled piteously as it died, its voice echoing from the vox grill in its reinforced torso. Diomat watched it slump over and turned.
I am an open wound, a knot of agony, and may you all suffer well and long as I have suffered. I died at Istvan, brother. All that is left of me is a death scream, echoing forever.
He pointed a claw wet with blood and oil at Fabius.
You are ridiculous, brother! After all that you have done and will yet do, you dare to come to me speaking of newborn primarchs and legions risen from the ashes? To what end? So that we might be absolved of our crimes?
Not absolution. A new beginning.
Fabius spat the words.
A clean slate, Diomat.
Nothing that comes to fruition here in this realm is clean.
He is perfect, Diomat. He is innocent. He is Fulgrim as he once was, as he should always have been. With him, with the gene tithe, I might be able to rebuild the Emperor's children. I might be able to save us from the Phoenicians' madness, and my own.
Diomat said nothing. The dreadnought stood, watching him silently. Fabius grunted.
Will you accompany me? We are invading a world that even Eidolon fears. It will be dangerous, possibly even deadly.
Perhaps I no longer wish to die.
Fabius studied the expressionless facade of the dreadnought.
Then don't. Come with me, Diomat. Help me retrieve our future, our past. Help me guide it, as you guided so many aspirants in better days. We can begin again, with the lessons of the past firmly in mind.
Fabius held out his hand to the dreadnought.
Help me save our legion.
Diomat laughed. A grinding, wheezing sound that put Fabius in mind of a death rattle.
There is no beginning here, Fabius. No ending. Only the slow crawl of oblivion. The sooner you learn that, the sooner you will come to see what I have seen.
He gestured with the claw.
But no matter. Perhaps I will see something new under the sun of this world before I meet my end.
He looked down at Fabius.
Yes, I will accompany you.